would, look at Psalm 138, 1 through 3. We're talking about strength, and the Lord is strong, and he gives us strength as well. Let me read it to you. It says, I will give you all thanks with all my heart, and I will sing your praise before the heavenly beings. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your constant love and faithfulness. You have exalted your name and your promise above everything else. On the day I called, you answered me, and you increased strength within me. Let's pray together. Would you tell the Father that you love him today from your heart to his heart? May he hear from you. We love you, Lord. You are our strength. And then would you give thanks just in this moment? Let the Holy Spirit highlight what you need to be thankful for. Who the Lord is, what he does, how he leads you through, what he reveals to you. Give you an opportunity to pray for other people that you know you have a burden for, people you've known for a long time, people that you just have met recently, but you carry a burden for them. Lift them up to our Heavenly Father. Mention their name, their situation to our Heavenly Father. It could be financial situation, spiritual direction, needing godly relationships, or carrying a heavy emotional weight. It could be physical sickness and disease. Just present them to him. We want to pray for nations. Will you continue to pray for the peace in the Russia-Ukraine war? Will you continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that which is going on between Israel and Gaza and now seemingly other countries? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Continue to pray for Haiti. I don't know if you're noticing the news, but other countries are beginning to send their law enforcement and their military police into the areas, and I'm thankful to hear that. Pray for peace there, restoration in the country of Haiti. Would you pray for the church that we are helping? We're not the only people helping. There are several, but in Thailand with Justin and Ashley, they were in the first service. His father recently passed away. They're heading back to Thailand on Tuesday. Pray for them, Pastor Eck, as they have launched a church here in Thailand, their area, their region of Thailand. Lift them up in prayer as this church begins. Would you pray for our nation spiritually? We pray for those in leadership of our nation. We pray for godly wisdom. We pray for godly wisdom to infiltrate. Our hearts would turn back to him again. Would you pray for those wildfires out west? I can't remember exact number, but I know it's over 3,000 square miles and devouring towns, and some of them that were just previously devoured a couple years ago. A lot of displacement. Pray for those people. Pray for those fighting those fires. Would you pray for those around you, just physically seated around you? Would you pray a blessing over them today? I believe in the blessing. And would you pray a blessing over your family, wherever they may be? The Lord is growing in my heart a love for the persecuted church throughout the world. And just pray a blessing over those who are in prison for the gospel. I pray for his presence with them, his power to be experienced with them. And the revelation of God's presence to those who are around them. Lord, I pray blessing on those who have been imprisoned and persecuted for your name. Lord, we ask your blessing on our offering today that we took. It's for your kingdom, it's for your glory. There are certainly church chores and things we need to do, but Lord, it's for the furtherance of the gospel. We ask that you bless that. And Lord, we brought a greater offering today, and that's us. We offer our lives to you, and we thank you. Lord, Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us today, but you see me differently. You're tougher on me than anybody in this room. I'm under a greater and a more strict judgment than anybody in these seats. And I know that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. So in the name of Jesus, I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. Since that was such a long prayer, I promise a short housekeeping at the end of the service, okay? I'll trade with you. How about that? It's good to see you today. From now to about Labor Day, we're going to be focusing on God's strength. And I want my God to be strong. But the beauty of it is he strengthens us. He gives us strength. So I want you to begin by looking to Psalm 138:1. We're going to take this a verse at a time. The psalmist writes, I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing your praise before the heavenly beings. We are people. Our character as believers is we're thankful people. We've got to watch that we're not a part of the whining and the complaining crowd. We have much, much, much to be thankful for. Look at Colossians 2:7. And this is where Paul is writing this church. And verse 6, he's told them, as you've received Christ, continue to walk in him. But verse 7 is about maturity. You're rooted, you're built up in him, you're established in your faith. All that's about maturity, just as you were taught. And then he says, we're overflowing with gratitude or thanksgiving. That's who we are. We are grateful people. We see God in all kinds of ways where somebody's like, I don't see God in that at all. We're just grateful people. And we do this with all of our heart. Give thanks with all of our heart. We're all in. Every bit of us is all in, and we're being thankful. Julie and I are going through her parents' house since Papaw passed away. And we're doing this in a systematic kind of way. It's how to eat an elephant, you know, one bite at a time. So we're going through it in segments, and she's going through what she's going through, and I'm going through what I'm going through, and just show how it ages you. We moved them a number of years ago from Campbellsville to here, and I thought then we'd gone through everything, you know, but obviously we haven't. And I've got to tell this story about moving them from Campbellsville to here. I found a menu. Papaw and Nemo had saved a menu from Red Lobster, the seafood restaurant. And we looked at that, it had the surf and turf, which is the steak and the lobster. It was $3.95. Can you imagine that? I mean, you can't get a sweet tea for $3.95, you know? But I'm just saying all that is I know it's happening with her. It's happening with me. As we go through things, we are we're thankful. You know, we're seeing things that they have written down in their journals, and it just makes my heart thankful. Again, I want you to know, because we're going to hit this in these three verses, and that is, I'm thankful to him. I do love them, and I'm grateful for my in-laws, but I'm just thankful for him and what he has done in their life and even passed on to our life as well. We just give thanks. We are grateful people for what the Lord has done, and we're all in. And he says, we sing your praise. We go back to verse 1, 138, 1, if you will. He says, we sing your praise before the heavenly beings. We, as we said last Sunday, there's a skip in our step and a song in our heart because of our relationship. And we sing praises before the heavenly beings. And you may run past this. I came to these verses really because of this. Because we'll just run past, well, what does it mean, heavenly beings? And if we don't know what it means, sometimes we'll just run over it and not really spend time with it. But he gives praise before the heavenly beings. A lot of discussion here in scholarship. Could be talking about the angels, could be talking about the powers of the air, which would be demonic forces. It could be talking about idols that have been established. It could be talking about earthly kingships that are in the area. But I think it really becomes a mix of all this. I try to bring it into a practical way, is I give my praise and my thanks to the Lord, to a world that I can't see. Really, I give it when I'm in personal worship and devotion, I'm telling a world that I can't see, but that can know of my existence. I'm telling them who I worship. I'm telling them that. We'll get into a mixture of public and private worship here in just a moment. But these heavenly beings, and you may have a version that has lowercase g, gods, instead of heavenly beings, but it means there's all kinds of things that are happening around us that's looking to distract us and looking to cause our focus to be off the Lord. And I want to remind you in Hebrews 12, 2, and you all know this verse, we fix or we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher, the source, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay down before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand or the authority of God, at God's throne. We keep our focus there, but it becomes a battle, doesn't it? All of us. It becomes a battle. So the psalmist is saying, I give my praise and my thanks to you, God, even to a world that I can't see. I want them to know who I worship. And it could be the general, angels, powers of the air, demonic forces, idols, earthly kings. It could be all that. But I'm saying this because he is keeping his eyes fixed on his God. And that's what we have to do. And it becomes very, very difficult because everything is pulling for our distraction. Everything is pulling us away. Look at Psalm 138:2 for just a moment. We continue this thanks and this praise. He says that worship has a posture to it, that I will bow down toward your holy temple. And it would be fine for David to write it in this way, which it is, and he did. But facing the holy temple was the presence of God. Now, let's bring it in modern day. You and I don't need to face Jerusalem when we pray. And if you go to this church or whatever church you want to imagine here, you don't face that certain church when we pray. We know that the Lord Jesus has made it available for all of us to approach the Holy of Holies, right? When he was crucified, the veil was torn, and it gave us access to that. It's very, very right for David to say this because he's facing the presence of God. So what David is trying to show us is that there is all this other presence and pressure to face other things. Look at 1 Samuel 26:19. This is David. He says, "Now may the Lord the King please hear the words of his servant. If it is the Lord who has incited you against me, then may he accept an offering to bring the peace. But if it's people, may they be cursed in the presence of the Lord. For today they've driven me away from sharing in the inheritance of the Lord. And here's the temptation. Go worship other gods." And that's our temptation today. It's to go worship other things. Give your praise and your thanks in some other avenue other than giving it to the Lord. And here David is saying, when there's this pressure to serve other gods, when there's this pressure to acknowledge and give credit to a lot of other things, heavenly beings, I choose, God, to give my praise and my thanks to you. You're going to see in verses 1-3 where it's your name, your constant love, your faithfulness. All the, he's taking it all to God, saying it's all yours. I love what David Kinder suggests. He said, before the heavenly beings or lowercase g gods, he says, that praise and thanks is bold. I want the unseen world to know who I worship. If they even take a moment to peer into my life, I want them to know that I worship my Lord. He said, that's bold. Because there's this struggle and this invitation for me and you to serve other gods. But then he says, here's the humble part, Kinder says. He said that David bows in humility. It's both a bold and a humble act for him to tell an unseen world who he worships, but yet in the presence of God, he is bowing before him. The picture that develops here is that when you are given the choice to face other things and give praise and thanks to other things other than God, says when you come face to face with that temptation, then the thing for me and you to do is go on our face. When we're faced with the temptation, go serve another God. Give them credit. Give them props. You and I need to go on our face before our God and say thanks, because my thanks and my praise is toward him. It's given to him. And worship is a part of that. And folks, I tell you, just a simple part of worship for me. This is just what I do for me. And I'll share it with you. You do what you want to with it. But worship in a picture in my mind is that I am lowering myself and I am exalting him. I'm when worship happens, it's I am properly placing him, and then I am properly placing me, and realize it's all his, all of it. It even my own life belongs to him. So my thanks and my praise is a part of my worship. I called Tucker. I didn't call Tucker. I text Tucker, and I asked him if he knew a certain song. And he texts back and said, "I may have heard it," which was a kind way of saying, "No, I don't know it. And if you do, it means you're old." That was a kind way of, that was a kind way of giving me the gap, you know. And I'm thankful for him leading, because Logan and part of our team is out there out leading worship at camp. But it's a song we used to sing it at Hope Church. It's called "Your Name." Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. You know that. Nothing has the power to save like your name. That when everything is coming at you and me, and it's telling us to not give the Lord credit and to serve other gods, here's what we do. We give praise and thanks to him. We overflow with thanksgiving. not whining or complaining, but we're grateful. We're grateful, grateful people. And when everything is beckoning us to give credit to somebody else besides our Lord, then that's when you and I fall on our face before Him. Our praise and our thanks is a bold gesture to an unseen world, but our bowing down before Him is an act of worship, because there is no one else but Him. No one else by Him. And you'll see in these verses, your constant love, we know that it endures forever. We know that Paul takes that and runs with it in Romans, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. That your faithfulness is like your love, is forever. Don't forget, Paul took that and ran with it. And he said, when you and I were faithless, God remained faithful to us. Man, I love Him for that, because I just had some years in there where I wasn't even thinking about Him. And He remained faithful to us. I'm glad you and I don't act, that He doesn't act like we do, right? He's remained faithful to us. And he says in verse 2, go back to 138:2. It says, your name is above everything. Your name, you have exalted your name. And your promises, they're above everything else, everything. I love Joshua 23:14. Joshua is telling to the people, I kind of sense he's got a little oomph in all this, you know. Like, I am now going the way of all the earth, and you know with all your heart and with all your soul that none of the good promises the Lord God made to you has failed. None of them. Everything was fulfilled for you. Not one promise has failed. That Joshua says it this way in the verses that I learned growing up, the promises of God are true. And then Psalm 138:3, he says, in all this, on the day I called, you answered me. Please know today that our God is approachable. He's approachable. And He encourages us to call on Him over and over in Scripture. I'll just give you one specific place, and it's one I go to a lot. I use this verse for myself, and it's Jeremiah 33:3. He says, call to me, he told the prophet to tell the people, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and wondrous things that you don't know or understand. God increased David's strength within him. Here's the deal. The world weakens us. Just really weakens us. I know you may think Lexington is a small city. When you come from a country boy that grew up in a town of 500 outside of Camelsville, a little town called Summersville, in Camelsville proper became my home much longer, but I grew up in a little bitty town, just had a caution light. My dad said we lived on Poke and Plum Street. Poke your head around the corner, you plumb out of town. That's what my dad used to always say. But when you grow up in that environment, Lexington's a big city to me. So I was on the north end of Lexington. And don't feel for me, I can navigate my way to any place in Lexington. It's just I don't always want to. And it was 3 p.m, and I was on my way back home, and man, there were just traffic, lanes of traffic. And I go, it's not even 4:30 or 5 o'clock, and people zipping in and out. And I know you'll go, man, it's a small city compared to everything. That's fine. You let it be a small city. It's not a small city to me. And this, just even that trip over there, and I'm just being honest, over there and back, and I wasn't there long, it just drained me. You know, I mean, the world just, it weakens us. And there's all this distraction that we have of where do we pay our attention? We chase lies. We just, the world lies to us and we just change it. We love shortcuts and we think the people that find them are the smartest people on the planet. And it's not. We just look for the shortcut in everything that we want to do in our life. Here's where I want to really reach into our hearts and our souls and our minds today. And that is, we have a God that is strong, but we have a God who strengthens us. And I know the world will just sap you. I know that. We all know that. But where do we get our strength to continue? And on top of that, where do we get our strength to be, to give thanks and praise? Well, it comes from Him. Like, what's got to happen? John 3:30 is a picture of what's got to happen. He must increase and I've got to decrease. And I think that's what worship does, praise and thanks. It puts Him where He needs to be and it puts me where I need to be. I don't need to be thinking I did this with my own creativity. I did this by my own intellect. It just didn't happen. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:16. It says, therefore, we do not give up. Don't lose heart. Even though our outer person is being destroyed. I mean, I'm looking at heating pads now. You know what I'm saying? Our inner person is being renewed day by day. Look how the Lord strengthens us. As David says, you have strengthened me within me. You have given me strength. When I go to Him, I'm reminded of who I am, and then I have to be reminded of who I am not. I'm not God. I didn't build myself. I'm reminded of who He is and where I am placed in all this. When we give our praise and our thanks, it says, David says, I'm doing this before the heavenly beings, an unseen world. They know who I worship. And then God, you're going to know who I worship too, because in your presence, I physically bow to you. I bow to you and there's confidence. We have, even when we give thanks and praise, we have confidence in Him. All of it, I trust Him. And I'll give you praise because I trust you and I thank you for all that you've done. His strength overcomes my weakness. And I know many of you know the word of God. You're going, well, sure. Scripture tell us when I am weak, He becomes strong in us. And that becomes true. This world will weaken us. But where do you and I go for our strength? Our God is strong, but He strengthens us. Look at Colossians 1:10 through 17. And David is so right to have written and given his focus the way that he did. But today, folks, our focus is on Christ Himself. I love Colossians 1. I could stay there the rest of my ministry. It's just so descriptive about Jesus. Let me walk you through these verses for a moment, and you walk with me. So that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit. We're connected. You know, the vine is connected, the branches to the tree. We're bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. Look at verse 11. May you be strengthened. Just stop there. Don't read ahead of me. May you be strengthened with all power. And who is it that does that? God does. God, I'm going to give Him praise and thanks in the midst of a world that I can't see. And I'm going to give Him praise and thanks, and I'm going to bow before Him. And may you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. For all endurance and patience, the world is just going to drain you with joy. Do this with joy. Giving, what's that word? What's that word say? Giving, what's that word say? Have you heard that today? So give thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. Look what He's done. He's rescued us from the domain of darkness. And what has He done? He has transferred us to the kingdom of the Son that He loves. And we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin in Him. Verse 15, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Verse 16, I love this right through here. And this goes with that, what I talked about in heavenly places. We give praise and thanks in the midst of a world that we can't see. And here becomes a picture of that. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible, the invisible, where the thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, all things have been created through him. And look at this last line, for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things absolutely hold together. I was sharing with Julie the other day, and I won't get into the details, but I said, honey, we just get so many blessings that come our way. There was, in that one whole day, there were just, and I know me and you are looking for this great big drop of blessing, right? But I said, our life has been filled with these little things that we know that God has just put together. Can I be really honest with you? I know what's going on in Israel and Gaza and Hezbollah, and I know people are needing food and water, and I know with Russia and Ukraine and the wildfires in the West and just everything that's happening, and we're trying to go through her mom and dad's house. And when I take going through her mom and dad's house and compare it to all these big things that are going on in the world, it makes me look like an idiot to say, hey, God, by the way, I know you're busy with Russia and Ukraine, and I know you're busy with Israel and Gaza, and I know the wildfires are going, but by the way, I need you to help me in me and Julie just emotionally going through Papaw's stuff and Meemaw's stuff. You know what I'm saying? And by the way, I did find it. I haven't told Julie. And they wrote on there, to Jeff, you are our favorite son-in-law. I just want you to know I found that. But the truth is, I'm their only son-in-law. But I had to throw that in there because you were just looking way too serious. And I'm just going, do I bring that before the Lord with everything else that is going on? And you know what the answer is? The answer is yes. He wants me to approach him as I would approach my own father. And he says, come to me. And when the world is causing me to have distraction, I mean, I know an enemy that doesn't want me to go to the Father for anything. And in there, we go to him. That's where we run. That's our confidence is there. Our trust is there. He is before all things, and by him, all things are held or hold together. I just want you to be able to see that today. We have a strong God, but he strengthens us as well. We're going to step into our invitation in a time of communion. And I know there's been uprising with the Olympics and all that, and I'm not going to harp and preach on that. I'm just going to say this to you. I expect lost people to act like lost people, okay? But I expect Christians to act like Christians. And when it comes to us acting like Christians, we are overflowing with praise and thanks. Where other people may get it wrong when it comes to the Lord's Supper, we're going to get it right today, okay? And we're going to remember. And we're going to remember the gift that he's given us in the person of Jesus. He's an indescribable gift. And we're going to give thanks for his body given, his blood shed, his sacrifice. The very fact that Jesus is our Savior is a fulfilled promise of God. Joshua said, the promises of God are true. And we're going to remember him. And we're going to give thanks. There's a whole lot in this world to cry about, and I get it. But we're going to let an unseen world see who we call Lord. And we're going to let our God know that we are thankful for our Hosanna, our rescuer. Jesus, my deliverer, Jesus. my rock, Jesus. My shelter, Jesus. My refuge, Jesus. The author and the finisher of my faith, the one who was, is, and always will be, the Lord. Guys, we're going to remember him today and his sacrifice, and we're going to give thanks. You know what? We'll think this about ourselves. We can't save ourselves. You can't work yourself into glory. You can't do it. The only way that he can save you, and the only way he did save you, was by his sacrifice that he gave his salvation to us and for us. And so let's remember him today, and let's be grateful, grateful people. If you're new to our church, we practice open communion. If you're a believer, we invite you to the table. I'm not going to go row by row, seat by seat, and determine who or who cannot take communion. It's not my table, it's his table. And I know that he invites us to his table. Listen, if you're in a spirit of rebellion, come home. You hear me? When you take the bread and the drink today, you're calling him Lord without saying a word. Just this act alone is saying that he is Lord of your life. And we not only take it giving thanks for his body given and his blood shed, but we take this looking for his return, because it's still a promise of God. And it's true. He will one day come back. And we look for that, and we just say, thank you for your rescue over my life today. And we remember the Lord. Let's pray together. Let me pray over you. Father, I pray over our people. As we approach the table, the body, the bread that represents the body given, and the drink that represents the blood shed, we're saying thank you, and we're also calling you Lord. We're letting an unseen world, and even a visible world, see who we worship today. And we give you praise, and we give you thanks for all that you have done for us. You are my God, in the words of Thomas. You are my God, and you are my Lord. You are our God, and you are our Lord. And we remember. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, and that we pray together. Amen. Church, would you stand? Team's going to lead us. Counselors, I do need you to get in place. People may want to pray with you. Come down here and pray. So, counselors, you find your place here as well. You can take communion here. Or you can take it back to your seat. We won't be doing it simultaneously. So you just, the team's going to lead us in some praise music, and then you can take it whenever the Spirit and the Bride, they say come.